In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and in the studio with me this morning is Missionary John Zimmer. John, glad to have you back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
We were talking about God's call on your life to missions, and then one of the biggest issues that a lot of folks will say, I'm not too sure I could be a missionary because I'm going to have to raise all that money. And we were closing off the last broadcast when you were saying that the focus cannot be on the money.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be on making friends and contacts. And we were discussing the fact that those contacts would be prayer warriors. And there are numbers of times in your years in Palau where prayer warriors actually were more important than funding people.
Absolutely.
And so as we consider that, what would you say to a prospective missionary who is frightened with the idea of deputation? What did you find to work best as far as contacting people or pastors or whatever?
Well, I guess it's just the concept or the thought that if God calls you to do something, He's going to provide.
Okay.
And it's going forward with a confidence that, number one, God has done this. It's not your little plan or your idea, but it's actually God that was moving in you. And once you get that settled, then you can move forward with confidence as you go to churches, because basically what you're doing is you're rallying God's people to be able to experience what God is going to do in that place.
Okay.
It's faith. It's believing that God is in it and He's going to provide and He's going to do some amazing things when you go.
We have a friend, a mutual friend, whom I will not name, but when he thinks he has a fantastic stock, he wants everybody to know about it. He'll say, man, you need to get involved in this. You need to invest here. You need to. And he does his research but he's excited about this investment type of thing. In essence, that's what a missionary is.
Exactly.
Giving folks an opportunity to invest in eternity that we'll never lose.
Exactly. You never have to wonder if it's going to be a good investment or not. It will come back. He says, my word will not return void.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that pressed down, shaken together.
Exactly.
Shall men give into your bosom? So it's talking about this lifetime.
Exactly.
That God will provide for that which He has called you to be and do.
That's right.
Okay. How about folks that don't feel like they have been called to preach or don't feel like they can teach or preach? Is there anything that you could say or they could be praying about as far as mission work in that realm?
Well, Jesus said that we are all to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So in a real sense, that's a call for all of us, whether you're a missionary or not. And the bottom line is the way that we do that is as we live our life, we share Christ.
Okay.
We live Christ. So when you're frustrated and someone cuts in front of you or is rude to you, you respond like Jesus would, wherever you are.
Now you're meddling. Now you're talking about our driving now.
But missions is literally living the same way here. You just live it over there.
Right.
And God does His amazing work through you. It's not you, and it's not some skill you have or ability. In fact, if you could have seen our first Bible studies, you'd say, that's missions? They were really rough. We're sitting on the floor. We just had our Bibles open. We're starting in Genesis, going to the cross. No big exegetical sermon. It was simple scripture.
Yeah.
Just the scripture. And that's how God worked. And people started coming to know Jesus, and a church was formed.
Did you have to establish relationships first with people before they would join a Bible study?
Absolutely. You couldn't just walk around and say, hey, join a Bible study with me. It was crying with them, laughing with them, fishing with them, building with them, just finding ways to connect and be together with people.
Yeah. So as they begin to think that you care.
They know you care because it's not so much what you know, it's the fact that you care.
That you
about
care
them.
For them.
Yeah.
Right. So it's involvement in people's lives, and then maybe they notice a difference in your family.
Yeah. In fact, Jamie, when we first went, we knew that our apartment would be cleaned by a lady. Mm-hmm. For the first 6 months, we signed an apartment lease agreement. And so she began to pray before we even got there that God would allow her to have a relationship with a Palawan woman.
Okay.
And this woman, sure enough, she was Palawan, and Jamie would get the place spick and span. So when this lady would come, she had nothing to do. So she had 30 minutes allotted,
uh-huh.
and Jamie would have her teach Palawan to her and begin to pray for her soul. And it wasn't long after that Benita came to her and said, I need help.
Oh.
And that's where yeah. God opened the door for me to step in, and we actually started a Bible study
right.
through that relationship that Jamie had in the apartment there.
Okay, okay. So she didn't realize she was going to be a language teacher to Jamie.
Exactly.
But there was nothing for her to do, but she still wanted to get paid for the 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was sneaky.
Creative.
Creative. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, right.
Creative, right. But as Jamie invested in her life, and I think that's basically what you're saying, whether it's here in the Milwaukee area or Palau or Japan, wherever it is,
mm-hmm.
it's investing in people's lives, and they realize,
right.
this person cares about me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And people all around are the same. They just want to know they're loved. And once they know they're loved, they're open to hear that God loves them and that there's hope for their life.
Years ago, when I had started a church in Albany, Georgia, another pastor friend of mine in the city said, you need to have a radio broadcast.
Hmm.
And I said, I don't know anything about that. He helped me to have a 30-minute radio broadcast. This is back in the day that you had records. Okay, so you had to put the records on the turntable and cue them up and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I called it Today.
Hmm.
And so I would read the various things that happened in Christian circles on that day. But at the end of every broadcast, I would say, now, folks, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a tough time today.
That's good.
Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a tough time today. And that, in essence, is the way we should live, isn't it?
That's right. So often, if we get focused on ourselves and our needs and our rights,
right.
we miss out on what God's doing all
mm-hmm.
around us.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us incredible treasure, and that's the gospel and the hope of
right.
eternal life and the peace that goes beyond anybody's understanding. And it's something that is transferable. As we share it with others, they can also experience that joy
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and find hope.
Right. How many years have you been in Palau?
Since 2006, so 12 years.
What would you say are some key things about God that you have learned in the last 12 years?
The biggest thing that stands out to me is God's involvement in every detail of my life.
Okay.
Just the fact that as you think about, I could spend hours just telling you God's hand in so many situations.
Right.
From where we wound up when we first moved there to people that God brought us in contact with. And I love that passage in Psalm 139, verse 16, where it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And I even think back to Watertown, Wisconsin in my years of rebellion.
Sure.
And I think about some of those teachers and people that loved me and prayed for me and cared for me. And all of that was part of that process of preparing me for today.
Right, right. And you probably can see yourself in other people now.
Absolutely. It gives me a real heart for kids that struggle because
yeah.
I was right there.
Right. I know my middle son was, sad to say, so much like me.
Hmm.
So I understood the struggles that he was going through, but he had some real struggles in his teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly enough, years later, he became a youth pastor, and Johnny had 600 teenagers
wow.
in his youth group.
That's awesome.
And he would tell them stories from his
mm-hmm.
younger years, and he would tell them what he learned about God and what his dad would say and all this kind of stuff. And one time he finished a construction of a youth building at the church he was serving at. And so Ruth and I showed up for the dedication time, and some of the teenagers said, "Oh, you're Pastor Jonathan's dad. Oh, we've heard about you." You know, I got, "Oh, great." You know, but many times the lessons that we're able to share are lessons that we have learned the hard way.
That's right.
You know, but we've learned who God is.
That's right.
And how much He loves us.
That's right. And that's why it's an encouragement to teachers and parents not to give up and to know that maybe the one that's struggling so much is actually could be the next missionary going around the world.
Yeah.
And not to quit and pray for them, because that's really the most important part.
I got kicked out of fourth grade because of my mouth. I got kicked out of fifth grade because of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
And so consequently, there was a pattern going on here, you know. So if you were to talk to any of my Sunday school teachers from those days, they would say, no, there's no hope. Then I went my first year to Bob Jones University. And I was, you know, just going there because my dad said I had to go to a Christian college my mm-hmm. first year. And I had a roommate that was just, oh, my soul. He evaluated everything I did and turned me in,
uh-oh.
Wrote me up and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I was a history major. I was going to be teaching history. Well, years later, we saw each other at a pastor's conference, and he looked at me and he said, "Greg Huffman? What are you doing here?" I said, "This is a pastor's gone." He said, "I know. That's what I'm asking. What are you doing here?" Blew him out of the water. But there is hope for everybody, isn't there?
Absolutely. There's always hope, especially if they understand the forgiveness of sins
right.
and that Christ is all they need. It'll
yeah.
change everything.
And you've been transparent with them.
That's right.
You know, you've let them know, "Listen, I've never been an angel."
Yeah.
You know, unless it's a fallen angel. You know, God has taught me His grace and His mercy, and He wants to teach you the same thing.
That's right.
You know, and when that happens, it begins to open up like, "Do you really care about me?"
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the most difficult people to really care about are what we would call difficult people.
Hmm.
So that leads me to my next question. What have you learned about dealing with difficult people in the ministry?
Well, you know, I love to go back to Philippians 2, because Paul, I believe, was speaking out of experience in this as well. And he said something so profound. I go back to it often. When I'm running into conflict with anyone, even unbelievers as well as within the church, and it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So many times, I believe the problem becomes less and less if I look at people with that mindset, the mind of Christ.
Okay.
And when I get my heart right towards them, God often begins to work in their heart. But if my heart toward them is not right and I'm negative, they can feel it.
We're going to pick up on that the next time we're together, because we've run out of time. Very important truth that we're about to discuss. So, folks, be sure to join us in a couple of days as we look at Philippians chapter 2 and how that relates to your church life, your friends, your ministry opportunities. So, till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.